Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about a different look at what may be called obsessive compulsive disorder in the medical world as a glimpse of the truth of being. In this show, we will discuss some possibilities found in what is called the peace that passes understanding. Listen as Swami explains some of the benefits of graduating from human rational thinking to the divine idea, from objective reasoning to subjective knowing. What does life look like when it is governed by the perfection of being? Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the perfection of being. Swami, the title of today's show is Obsessive Compulsive Disorder Discussed. So what is one of the first things that you would like to talk about?
Well, just like we said in the opening here, that these things that are being diagnosed, we may actually be having a negative response to something that is very positive, because a lot of times they call somebody or diagnose somebody with a disorder because they have this proclivity to making everything perfect, to wanting everything to be as good as it can possibly be. And we call that a disorder. But from a spiritual sense of understanding, everything is perfect. In fact, there's a quote in the Bible, Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." And so the medical and what we call the Western scientific approach, which is rooted in matter is real, tries to diagnose, which is only an attempt to rationalize how the unreal became real or the false became true. In divine science, we start with spirit as the only reality, and it's perfect, and recognize the unreal as unreality. An awareness of this truth has a profound effect on the false activity of mortal mind or objective thinking, and corrects the thought with truth, thus changing the appearance. And this was what Mary Baker Eddy discovered. This is how miracles seem to take place. But they're not changing anything but the human thought about what's there, because what is really there is the perfection of being.
I know we've talked a lot about that. What is in our consciousness manifests in our physical world. So are you saying that these people who are diagnosed with OCD, that they know in a higher consciousness that there is this perfection and they're trying to live out from this perfection?
Well, what I don't want to do here is fall into the trap of trying to diagnose these conditions that appear to be happening in people that we are perceiving with a mortal mind. Like attracts like. And if we are living out from the objective perspective coming from the testimony of our own five senses, then we fall into the trap. But what the Bible is suggesting that we do is repent, think differently. We must rise above corporeal sense. We must start to live out from the spiritual fact of being, understanding that things are perfect. I love what Mary Baker Eddy says in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 476, Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Savior saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. That how we're seeing things, and the more we learn about divine science, we're starting to see that we're accepting the testimony of our five senses. We're trying to live out from this rational, objective level of awareness, but it's what the Bible calls the sin. It's the devil. If we continue to do that, then we're in the trap, but we're in this cycle of death and rebirth that you really can't make sense out of it. And so we have to forsake these modes of mortal thinking for this divine knowing. And so we're not really trying to, like I said, diagnose how somebody is living their life on an individual level. We're trying to see the generic, the one-size-fits-all solution to the problem, which is found in the Bible. Know the truth, and it will make you free.
And I know we've talked about judgment before in many shows, but we would be remiss to judge these people as having something wrong with them because they are seeking this perfection.
Right, or whatever is driving them doesn't mean that they are at the level of consciousness. They have a glimpse of something that is very different than one understands this divine principle. And so there are a lot of things that have to be in place in order for us to really live out from this truth of being. And that's what we talk about in Kriya Yoga, that we develop spiritual sense. And the way that we do it is by controlling our corporeal senses. And then by having awareness of this truth. That's what faith really is that you have to trust what is invisible and intangible until you understand and you can demonstrate it as a scientific law.
This kind of reminds me of hearing about artists, musicians who are trying to strive to find the perfection in their work and then creates maybe a sense of depression for them.
That's an interesting dynamic because anytime you're working with perfect divine vision, divine mind is the perfection of being. And knowing the difference between mortal imagination and divine mind can be better understood when there is clarity between objective perception and subjective perception. The difference between identifying with material values, corporeal sense, and spiritual sense. And that's a big part of what we're trying to learn here, is that anytime you're going to work with this perfect divine vision and you put it into form, it's going to come up short. That nothing manifests, nothing materializes whole. That's how you start to create the skill of being able to shift from material perception to mental perception to spiritual perception. And when spiritual perception becomes the only reality, that's when we shift from objective perception to subjective perception. We shift from this misunderstanding that we're separate into this understanding that we are one with this divine creative principle.
I'm not sure if this is correct in my way of thinking, but I always thought that if I was making something or doing something, that if something came easy to me, then that would have been what we would call a divine idea. But if I have to struggle to make something, or whether it's a decision or something creative, then that would be my mortal imagination taking over, and that's why it's a struggle.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good starting point. We really have to rise above human will, trying, striving, struggling, planning, and even thinking. On some level, we really have to understand that there is this divine creative life that is going on and that it is perfect. And all we're really trying to do now is attune our will with this divine will.
I think this might be a good time to maybe recite a quote from the Self-Realization Fellowship. And this says, God is yours. Hold that truth in your bosom, in every thought you have, and one day you will find that you have only dreamed you were a man. You will wake and know you are a God, an eternal reflection of the infinite spirit. The greatest sin is ignorance of our oneness with him. Just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, I think that's what we mean. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is mistaking the impermanent for the permanent, the false for the real. But the way we're socialized, we're starting out with a belief in matter. You can't get there from here. We have to really let go of these material moorings. We have to let go of our belief that we are a mortal creature. And without leadership, which to find this kind of information, there's only small groups or circles that you can really find this truth being spoken. Most of it is really human conjecture and more human theories and concepts and beliefs that we try and figure out, but they all work on the rational. They're still starting out with a belief in objective reality. And so as we start to graduate and we start to understand ourselves as an eternal spiritual being, and that's what Paramahansa Yogananda is saying here, that we move out from the belief in the many into the understanding of the one, that there is but one life, and it is unchanging. It is perfect. It is whole. It's complete. And all we're really trying to do is accept that as our identity, that if there is but one life, who am I? Who are you? And what is appearing in our five senses, what is appearing in our objective perception of this truth of being is false. It's the false activity of the carnal mind.
And like he says, we have to awake from the dream and know that we are God.
Right. And what they say in Christian Science or Infinite Way is we're hypnotized. We have a belief in two powers, and we're in this cycle of death and rebirth. It's ongoing. It's never ending. It's kind of like trying to lift yourself from the earth. Gravity keeps pulling you down. You have to grab something outside of the earth in order to get the leverage to break that force. And the same is true with thinking. If we continue to think with a mortal mind, with duality, with a belief in two powers, then we can't get out of this cycle. And that's why in the Bible it says, repent, think differently. And to let divine mind take over the scientific government of your being is where we begin to do that.
Well, I like what you say in your notes here is that spirit is perfect and spirit translates everything into itself. So therefore, we, I think, have to watch ourselves about having these negative responses on something that could be actually very positive.
Right. And the other thing is learning just what we have been talking about, that fear is a defense mechanism for this false sense of who we are. And so the closer we get to spirit, the more threatened the false sense becomes, and of course it exacerbates our fears. Because you can't be spiritual and material. And so the false sense rejects the presence of spirit And it really tries to convince you it's not trustworthy. And so we fall back into the trap. But the more we start to understand, again, how this principle works, that truth will dispel error, but if we can progressively take it from the material side and let go of the belief in matter, then I think it makes it a little bit more of a seamless acceptance.
Well, I think we should pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, in the opening, we said we were going to discuss some possibilities found in what is called the peace that passes understanding. So can you tell us what it is that we even mean by that statement?
Yeah, the peace that passes understanding is divine omnipresence, this truth of being, this perfection of being. And it's not peace that can become war. It's not peace that can become disturbance. It's absolute peace. Spirit is whole. It's complete. It's not a mix of two powers. We can't comprehend that in our rational five-sense mind. You can't comprehend the infinite in the finite. We use metaphors and we try and get a human perspective of what this peace is being talked about. But in truth, spirit testifies with deeds, not words. That we have to really rise above our rational mode of thinking and start to think in the absolute.
We have a quote here by Mary Baker Eddy. Wondering maybe you could go over that with us.
Yeah, this is from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. To enter into the heart of prayer, the door of erring senses must be closed. And this comes from the Bible, but we really have to understand pratyahara, sense withdrawal. The way that we do that is to fill our thought with divine idea. There is a difference between thoughts and ideas. Thoughts are rational. Thoughts have their origins in duality, a belief in two powers. Whereas divine mind speaks from the absolute. It has a belief in one power. It has knowledge of only one life. It's very different in terms of rational thinking is limited to time and space. Rational thinking is limited to here and now and then. Whereas absolute divine mind, everything is here and everything is now. And everything is happening at once. So rational thinking, you can do one thing at a time. So if you're seeing, you're not hearing. Case in point, if you were watching television and somebody walked in and was telling you about a boat trip that they went on, if you were watching a hockey game and you were listening to what this person was telling you, even though your eyes never left the screen, you'd be like, oh, shh, don't talk to me. I missed what happened. What just happened they scored a goal or whatever. But there are parts of the mind on a rational, objective human level that can do many things at once, like what's controlling your heart rate, your blood pressure, your body temperature, simultaneously. And we want to rise above these mortal modes of thinking. We have to close the door of the erring senses. We need to understand things from the spiritual sense.
Last Wednesday on the Noon Free Chat, we had a conversation about the wrath of God. I'm wondering, can you explain to us the wrath of God and what that has to do with this perfection that we're talking about?
Yeah, the wrath of God is really divine love. It is the love of God not letting us accept anything less than the perfection of being. The law of karma, the cycle of death and rebirth are simply the shadow of truth, the false activity of a mortal mind, separate from the divine mind and the divine law of life. And so when we experience this kickback from this unlived latent potential that we have, we're in this law of karma. We have a belief in something other than the divine law, other than this one divine life. And so we have problems. And our problems are a signal that we have a belief in something other than the allness of God. We're in violation of spiritual law.
So about this law of karma, am I to assume that until we can see ourselves as divine idea, we will keep coming back until we get this right?
Exactly. And it's an important thing because I had just recently had posed this question to somebody in Infinite Way because they insisted on a belief in reincarnation. Reincarnation would be a belief in two powers. It would be a belief in this law of karma, which then negates the belief in the one. In Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy didn't believe in reincarnation because she didn't believe in incarnation, that this human experience is a false sense of who we really are. And until we awaken into the truth of who we really are, we remain in this false sense of existence. It's a level of consciousness.
So I see that you have a quote here, and maybe this would be a good place to go over that with us.
Okay, this is something else that I have from Mary Baker Eddy, and she says in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, without a fitness for holiness, we cannot receive holiness. A great sacrifice of material things must precede this advanced spiritual understanding. The highest prayer, loftiest adoration, is not one of faith merely. It is demonstration. Such prayer heals sickness and must destroy sin and death. It distinguishes between truth, and that is sinless, and the falsity of sinful sense. Basically, this is when I read stuff like this where I really thought what she was doing dovetailed with the Kriya Yoga that I was practicing. Especially when you make statements like a fitness for holiness, that we must create a hospitable environment to invite divine mind into our consciousness. And it's not something that happens accidentally, that if you fill your thoughts with divine ideas, it makes your thoughts buoyant. It enables you to rise above corporeal sense. And then you can start to open the channels of communication. And she's talking about a great sacrifice of material things must precede this advanced spiritual understanding. We have to put off the belief in matter. The Bible says, put off the old man. The interesting thing about it is like we said earlier, spirit translates everything into itself. So the minute you assume spiritual identity, it dissolves the belief that you are a finite mortal creature.
Now, so before I forget, I realize that today is a full moon. Is there anything going on celestially that we should be aware of regarding today's topic?
Well, again, I don't think that we need to know this celestially, but it can be helpful. It's like you don't need a map to get you to Portsmouth if you know the way. And to use the movement of the celestial bodies to give us maybe clues into how this divine mind may be operating in a divine sequence can give you a framework that you can work with, but it isn't something that's going to dictate anything. But these cycles and patterns that we find in astrology can help order our thoughts. And again, I think what we want to do is use the testimony of our senses to give us clues into how we're thinking. But the full moon is really the delivery day. And this full moon is 11 degrees Aquarius. And so wherever that's going to fall in your chart might give it a little bit of an emphasis and what aspects it may have to your natal positions of planets. But even, say, for example, the transits to the transits that are happening today are Mercury opposition Saturn, which may bring conflict between new thoughts and collective purpose, or new thoughts about collective purpose, which as we're moving from material to mental to spiritual identity, we realize that it's not my will, but thy will. And also today, the moon squares Uranus and opposition to the sun, more conflicts between new insights and self-expression. And so if we don't experience conflicts or we're not experiencing any kind of discord, these could be the clues that we are thinking more in harmony with this divine mind.
Well, I see that we have a key point here, and this might be a good time to go over that for our listeners as well.
Yeah, awaken to the scientific truth that we cannot accept into our consciousness false concepts about others and demonstrate our own well-being at the same time. Thinking is out of joint with one mind when thoughts of fear and criticism fill consciousness. And so what we do is we try and reverse engineer that. If we do have fear, if we do have a belief in this false sense of existence, we start with a belief in the truth. You start with understanding that this isn't the truth of my being. And you put your focus on what is true about you, that you are an eternal spiritual being. And as a spirit, you're fulfilled. You have no needs, you have no wants, you have no desires, that everything is provided for you. And you are complete, whole. And that's the peace that passes understanding.
Well, I do think it's that time we have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on the homepage, when you see a fading banner and it comes up with Blog Talk Radio Show, if you click that, that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And also the products tab, clicking on online classes, and that will give you access to all the classes that Swami has to offer. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the perfection of being. And with that, Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.